What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kind of Funny podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Top of the afternoon to you, Greg.
I'm happy to see you in the jean jacket again. It's been too long since the denim jacket was on the show.
Thank you. Yeah, that's making a reappearance, which I appreciate, largely because my wife turned the air conditioning on.
Oh.
Because, and I quote, "You're cooking too many eggs." It smells like eggs.
How many eggs is too many? Like, what was the number that she was like, you know what?
Mm-mm. I think it was a cumulative number over the span of the last month, because I do love eggs. I like to scramble some eggs in the morning. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, Greg, I like breakfast for dinner. So there's a lot of eggs being cooked in the Scarpino household, but there is that eggy smell that goes along with that, Tim. That
but does the AC get rid of that? I mean, I think you should crack a window.
Yeah, I mean, you got like a circulation thing happening. There was a window that was open earlier today as well. I mean, D's taking care of the problem. Don't worry about it. Guys, don't worry. You come in right now, it smells as fresh as the fucking driven snow in my house right now.
As fresh as the driven snow, huh?
Mm-hmm. You know how it is. We got a whole show to do, and Fuego del Sol from AEW's here, and yada, yada, yada. Question I have for you, though. No, don't wave yet, Fuego. Huh? The question I have for you, Nick, is this. Uh-huh. How does dinner time work at your house? Because I feel like, and I know you and D love each other, but I feel like, are you having a lot of meals together, or are you just cooking eggs and she's having a cranberry juice and going to bed? Like, well, that's how I envision it kind of happening.
So recently, I mean, not recently, obviously, because we've been working from home for so long, I've actually just been doing a lot of meal prep. So I'll just cook a ton of food like throughout the day. And then if we are here together, then we'll eat and we'll hang out and we'll watch, you know, we watch Billions and stuff like that.
Sure.
But like last night, for instance, she was gone all day. I cooked dinner. I ate dinner here. And then I went off to a mic down in San Jose. And then she came home like an hour later and ate. So we're kind of a couple ships passing in the night occasionally, but I do a lot of the meal prep. But she also doesn't like eggs, which is why specifically the eggs have been targeted in this household.
And that's why she's trying to freeze you out.
Like, does your wife ever do this, Greg, where you'll make something and she'll go to eat it and go like this? Make that face, that kind
of
level.
No. For us, what it is Jen, you know, is not like me. She's not a picky eater, so she'll eat anything and she doesn't care. But she'll know, like, she'll give me fish or some shit that I don't want or whatever. And then it'll be the thing where I'll eat it, and then she'll be like, "That was good," and I'll go, "I'm glad you enjoyed it." Yeah. Like, which is the clear indicator. I did not, but I'm not going to say like that. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah, you know what it is. Fuego, you're married, right? You don't want to, you can't go out there. We can't do that. It's whatever they say. That's how it's going to be. Of course, he's Forbes 30 under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the verified one at Tim Geddes.
I keep it real. When she makes food and she asks me what I think about it, I got to be real with it, because we got to build that consistency. You know what I mean? Like, she's trying to make some good stuff. If it's not good, I need to let her know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
She appreciates it. But this is the thing. It's the thing where Jen knows what she's doing. She knows I don't like fish. She knows I don't want beans. So if you're going to she knows I don't want a soup or whatever. So if you're going to make me eat something like that, she already knows where it is. You know what I mean? And then the comment I make just gets a laugh, because we both know I hated this.
Mm-hmm.
I also want you to know, for no reason whatsoever, I have a new thing. We have the teleprompter permanently on here because Kevin came over to fix my setup, and I appreciate that, Kevin. But I just noticed that I was staring at the hole, like we're one of the mounting holes of it. I'm like delivering to this thing rather than the lens.
That's the professional thing to do. That's actually what the kids do now, Greg.
Yeah.
They don't look into the lens. They look a little bit straight off the lens hole. To be off-putting right into the hole.
See, that's because kids these days, they're all out there with their mobile phones. They talk to you like this. You know what I mean? They don't pay attention.
Yeah, it's just the kids that do that. It's just the kids.
Just the kid.
It's not all five of us sitting here every time we go anywhere. And yes, I put Fuego in there as well, because we're homies.
Fuego rolls with us, yeah.
Of course.
And of course, ladies and gentlemen, joining us to round out the quartet, he of course is all elite. He is AEW's Fuego del Sol. Hello, Fuego.
Oh, how are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Excited to be on the KFP, baby.
And that's the thing we need to talk about from the jump, all right? We've had a lot of wrestlers come through before. Your Xavier Woods, your Samoa Joes. Usually how it works is that I, of course, like wrestling, so I've crossed paths with them, and they like video games, and we become fast friends and something like this. For you, you came out of nowhere, where one day, I don't forget what it was, that I tweeted or something, and then I went about my day, and then later I looked at my mentions, and it was somebody going, "Holy shit, Fuego del Sol likes Kind of Funny," and you going, "I'm a Kind of Funny best friend." And since then, you've casually used that you're a trog, meaning that you watch live on Patreon and all this different stuff.
All the time.
When I finally went when I finally went in to look into this, I was like, who the fuck is Fuego del Sol? Why is he like us? And I'm digging into it, and you're on AEW, you're on television, you're doing the whole thing. I dig and dig and a dig. I find your backyard wrestling YouTube channel from when you were a kid, and I'm like, oh, I'll watch some of this. I'm like, that's very interesting, as I'm a professional backyard wrestler as well. And then I look at, like, from a couple of years ago, you did like a reunion of like, let's watch the video and talk about it. And one of the guy next to you is wearing a producer/seducer shirt. Like, that's how into kind of funny you are.
Oh, of course.
That's ridiculous.
I'm smart. Like, right? Not only have I watched you guys, but I've learned from you guys. And Tim Geddes happens to be a schemer, right? And so I knew. I was like, I've been wrestling for 7 years, but just got signed professionally last year. And so I've been biding my time and waiting for my moment. And as soon as December came, this past December, and I got double verified on Twitter and Instagram.
Woo!
I shot my shot. You know what I'm saying? I dove on in there. I let everyone know how big of a kind of funny best friend I am.
So I want to get into all of it, Fuego, but if people don't know, what's the elevator pitch? Who are you?
Ooh, elevator pitch. Masked luchador from Alabama, mm-hmm. who loves pop culture, loves to have a good time, makes people laugh. I'm the most hilarious, wholesome, yet just a little bit nasty luchador you'll ever meet in your life. But I don't know. It's such a weird, I can't do it in the elevator. I would just tell them to follow me. Let's go out of the elevator and we'll talk about my life.
Let's go to the bar. We're going to go hang out. We're going to go this
time. We're friends now. You asked me this question in the elevator. We're leaving. Let's go.
So what I've appreciated, you talk about, you know, you've followed us for years, you know, Tim Geddes, you're a schemer, yada, 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 is that's the thing I got from once I dove in and started watching the clips, watching the backyard wrestling, watching you on AEW, watching just how you carry yourself and do all these different things. What stood out to me is that you really are. I always talk about how fortunate we were that YouTube didn't exist when we were backyard wrestling, because we would put all the clips up and we would have gotten in trouble in school because we were talking about other kids and girlfriends and all these things. And we weren't being at all like, you know, thinking other people would watch this one day. What I appreciate about you is that I watch your YouTube stuff. I watch the backyard wrestling stuff. And Kevin, throw it up. I sent you links. Put it in there. Fuegos.
We're going to cringe a little bit? Okay.
Just a bit as we look through it. Like, you know, where you came from, your humble beginnings.
Absolutely.
But it is the idea that you went and did backyard wrestling. You put it up on YouTube. It's all up there. You've gone through. You've, you know, done the reunion shows. You've talked about over it. You've done all these different things. And it's the fact that you've kept that with you as you've then gone into professional wrestling. What I mean by that, of course, is that I think so many people, you know, get into content creation with their friends, like I did with backyard wrestling. Look at the beast.
I love it so much.
But like, we did it and put it down and went about our lives. And like, you did this, but then still to this, you, to this day with what you're doing at AEW, but like when you were on that journey to get signed, right, you were still vlogging. You were going around and doing the indie shows that, you know, we've all gone to here when we would go see APW here in the Bay Area. And like, I know that so well, right? Being in the gymnasium afterwards, the wrestlers are done wrestling, and so you can get photos with them and go to the autograph tables. And so you're vlogging from your car, you're vlogging from the table. When you're doing your introductions to what the video is going to be, you have your children in it, right? Like, you have your kids come up and push it. Like, Kevin, if you want to throw up the vlogging one too, like, it's such a modern interpretation of what professional wrestling and indie wrestling is, that you actually, like, you're here, you're selling the merch at the start. I was watching this one today. Like, you're like, hey, you can be part of the Fuego Army. We should buy this shirt. I only bought 25 of these, and you can go and hit me up on Instagram DM and stuff. This is from a few years ago, and I think when it was a little bit.
Yeah, but it's, man, like, it's cool to see the looking back on it. Yeah, 100% YouTube. I trying to embrace that and use that. Like I said, there's so many new forms of social media and different things. And when you're trying to make it, you also are trying to keep yourself half entertained, and you want to use every skill necessary to you, not just the wrestling part of it. But here I am with one of my good friends here. Holly, he also did a bunch of just like backstage skits with me on my vlogs, and just to make each other laugh, to pass the time. But really, this was just all about grinding and trying to make it. Even as a younger kid, like I said, right when YouTube was blowing up, one of my best friends, also huge kind of funny best friend, his name is Austin, AK-47. He's been
in the chat. I was gonna say, everybody knows him as the assassin. Oh, yeah. AK-47. He's in the live chat right now, and that was the other thing. That was the fucking other thing. He's the guy in the producer/seducer
shirt.
Yes. I was in a meeting or something with Andy when I ran into all this, and he's like, I was telling him it was happening live. I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. And I sent him the clip, and he literally opened it and he goes, oh, that's Austin. He comes to all of our stuff. And I was like, God,
he's been to Kind of Funny Live 3 prom. Yeah, he's got the Kind of Funny smiley tattooed on his hand.
Like, and I was like, did you know that he knows this wrestler that's in AEW? Like, I feel like there was Someone forgot a middle part of the narrative to tell us what was going on. It's amazing.
Yeah, back on like that Ask Greg Anything years ago, he commented and paid the money and he showed you a little bit of the backyard wrestling, but that was before I was a big deal. That's like, that was way back then, but we've been kind of funny best friends for a long time. I started professional wrestling in 2014. I guess even before that, I should say the backyard wrestling, we called it KBW Kids Backyard Wrestling, right around 2009, 2010. We had a video blow up in 2012 and we started getting paid by YouTube. And by the time I was about 17, 18, me and AK, I went and paid for us to get professional training because of all the money we'd made off YouTube.
Oh, that's and awesome.
So, that is such a cool story.
It all loops. I can't wait to. Yes, yeah. Like, that's the thing. We would do some crazier stuff.
Did you just kill your friend right there? Is the beast okay after that?
At the end of the day, me and AK are probably the only two that actually did anything so crazy that it would hurt one of us. Luckily, neither of us broke any bones or anything, but we were just huge fans. And so, he was a year younger than me. I went off to college in Oklahoma, continued to professional wrestle. After high school, he didn't know what he wanted to do with his life, so he moved up to Oklahoma with me in 2015. And one night we were watching some stuff on YouTube and he stumbled upon, like, he's been a big fan of your stuff at IGN, Greg. And so we stumbled upon the topics, man. And just, we would watch Game Over Greggy topics just all night long for months on end. And we've just become huge fans. And then it's just, even when he eventually moved back to Alabama, he stopped wrestling as much. But we would always talk about whatever weekly KF content was on. And then he decided that he was going to go get himself a journalism degree because of you, Greg.
Huge mistake.
And so he went. And
now he's a waiter and making way more than he did as a copy editor.
Oh, man. But he's got some stuff on radio now. But then he saw me. I brought him up to a show at AEW, and he saw me wrestling again, and it kind of reignited his fire. And so he went and started training with Cody Rhodes, and now he's back wrestling. And so we're both wrestling again, and it's an awesome thing. It's a whole
incredible
awesome thing. But I got kids. So I couldn't commit to a bunch of the trips out west. But this guy, I gotta put him over. He's one of my best friends in the world, Austin. Huge Kind of Funny best friend. And I told him, I was like, if I made it, it's like we both made it onto the Kind of Funny podcast. So I gotta shout him out.
I love it. So I love the random best friend sightings where it's like all of it. You see people's names in the chat. Like, of course we know the Assassin AK-47. We've seen that name for years and everything. And it's so fun to like come across things. Like recently I was on Reddit and I was on the nerdiest subreddit you could possibly be on, which is a subreddit dedicated just to steelbook cases for Blu-rays. Like, of course I would, right? And I'm looking through this subreddit.
I'm Fast and Furious.
I'm mad that they changed the box shape from Fast 5 to Fast 6.
Reality is now my favorite interpretation.
You guys are being really rude about like something that's a very serious thing, all right? You know how many times like movie series are like, this is the definitive version, and then 20 years later, here's a sequel? Oh, let's hope that has the same box format? That's not going to happen.
Yeah, shout out to Fast and Furious for keeping it real, keeping it 100. They always have the same steelbooks.
Fast and Furious, I hope it stays Best forever. Buy steel case.
Yeah,
right? I appreciate you being nice, but as a best friend, I definitely came on this podcast to see Nick do the push-up glasses and make the voices.
Jesus Christ, Fuego. It's like, oh, God, man.
Anyways, you're on the steelbook thing. Kevin's over on the Gobi subreddit. Continue.
Exactly. I'm on the steelbook Reddit.
Son of a bitch.
I'm reading through all the comments and stuff about some specific, I don't even remember which one it was, and I see the name KI700. I'm like, that is 100% a name I see on the KF subreddit all the fucking time. And like, I haven't talked to him about it. Hopefully he hears this and just sees, but I like lost my mind being like, this is such a small world, that like such a random specific thing. I'm like, I fucking know that guy, and I feel like I know him, even though I've just seen his name a bunch of times. But anyway, really cool stuff.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Kind of Funny podcast. Mm-hmm. Your dreams could come true and you could become a professional wrestler and be on it too one day. If you didn't know, each and every week, 4, sometimes 5 best friends gather on this table, coming to bullshit with each other about whatever it is they want to bullshit about. If you want to bullshit with us, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where of course you could write in with your topics for discussion. You could get the show ad free. You could watch the post show we do each and every week. You could watch live, just like the Assassin AK-47 is, Cooper is, and Melissa Hagler is. Remember, when you see the other Hagler go through there, married, not brother and sister. Cody, that's it. That's
did we ever get confirmation on that, by the way?
We did. We did. No, they confirmed they are, in fact, married in there.
They should. They gave us the required social security number as marriage license.
But here's what I want. Here's what I want you to know how my brain works, all right? Is that I, of course, have a lot of fun in these shows. I don't know if you know. I make some yuck yucks. I make some memories for everybody out there. Right. But is in the same way I impact your life, you impact my life. And so it was after we had the last Hagler discussion of were they brother, sister? Are they married? What's the relationship? They were like, we're married. I later that night, I think, was making dinner and started laughing to myself just hysterically, because what I should have told them, I'll tell them now, is tonight when you go to bed, I want you both to think of me on the little corner of your bed looking at you, all right? That's me. That's my gift to the Hagglers. Oh, geez, so that when you go to bed, you see a little Greg perched like a gargoyle while you try to go to sleep, all right?
That's a boner killer. Fantastic.
I didn't mention anything about sex, all right? Don't make it dirty. I'm just saying they're going to bed. Are they going to go, I love you, Cody. I love you, Melissa Hagler. And they'll kiss and they'll roll over. And then they'll start giggling because they'll imagine the little Greg down at the end of their bed in the gargoyles
fashion. Yeah. And then for months, they'll be like, I don't know why I can't sleep. I don't know why I can't sleep. It's like, I'll be honest with you, Fuego. I've run this, we've been a part of this company for almost a decade now. And when we go on trips where Greg's in the house, if we stay in an Airbnb, I have to lock the door. I don't know why. I just think to myself, I need a buffer between me.
The first day, you're like, I'm out.
That's because he rented a sex dungeon. He was like, don't tell Nick, but we're going to go to E3.
I did not tell Nick.
And it smelled, I'll just say conservatively, it smelled like fog juice. We'll leave it at that.
I thought it was
a once in a lifetime memory.
Sex swing was very comfortable. That's very true.
Just like the freezing room or watching The Office with Andy, all of these great memories of when y'all were on these trips.
That's what I'm talking about. We were watching The Office and I was so like, this wing of the house that's freezing better have a lock on it, because I just don't trust Greg. I don't trust that I'm not going to wake up and Greg's going to be standing over my bed shirtless giggling like he just did.
I want you to know, Nick, we're working on a lot of stuff right now in WWE 2K22, right? We're making all the kind of funny folks. We made the ring. We're doing this stuff. I was going to put us in a stable together as the assholes, but now I don't know if I want to. I think you still should.
I mean, I think what I just said was the most asshole thing that has been said on this podcast already, so I think I've proven my worth.
Now, Nick, I want you just to imagine that life, but just every week in a wrestling locker room where just a bunch of grown man children who are half dressed are running around playing pranks on each other. That's what I have to deal with on a weekly basis.
Now, let me ask you this. When they make your character in a video game, do they purposely make it the size of a 2-year-old child? Because that's what Greg's really talking about. He's going to make my character, and that thing's going to be like 4 inches tall.
Listen, if we get an incredible TikTok like we got with everybody's golf one, I'll be fine if they make my character.
Every day Barrett shares an Instagram post with me, and he goes, hey, I got another collab for you. And I fucking dread it. I fucking dread it every single time. And then I laugh, not with myself, at myself. And I'm like, I am the stupidest human being on this podcast. And then I have to post it because I need everyone to know.
With that happened to me today. Barrett hit me up. He's like, hey, I got an Instagram collab coming through, like, just to prove it. And I was like, for sure. And I had that same feeling Nick's talking about. I'm like, what did I do? What did I say? How stupid is this going to be? And like, I'm so happy that like I had the luxury of not being you, Nick. So there is always the chance that it is probably going to be you that did something stupid and I just happened to be there. And that's exactly what happened today, where it's ranking the states, people talking shit about Alabama. Couldn't be me. I'm out here shouting out Sweet Home Alabama. You're talking shit about it. So, hey, I don't know, Fuego. Damn. What do you have to say about that?
I was going
to
say, Fuego, you're living your dream. You're on the Kind of Funny podcast. What topic do you want to argue that you've heard over the years of fandom that you're like, these guys got it wrong?
Listen. I mean, after the horrendous MCU ranking list that you guys have put together, I can't be mad about how y'all ranked my state of Alabama. Of course, it holds a special place in my heart. A little bit biased, just like you guys were all biased for putting California number one, which I'm sure if we took a census of the rest of the world, maybe it wouldn't be so
there. But I mean, 10% of the population of the United States lives right here in this beautiful state.
It's true.
And that's not even counting the illegals, so there you go.
Yeah, half of them stuck in traffic right now.
That's true.
Audio listeners only, sorry.
Don't blame us because you got nowhere to go in Alabama or Oklahoma. All right, where do you want to go? Go to Walmart? Go to Sonic? That's all you got.
That sounds fine.
I wish Sonic this morning.
Remember that time we were in Arizona? We got lost in a Walmart for like 4 hours.
Great vlog.
Yeah, Andy bought that colorful sweatshirt. He still wears to this day.
It's true. He loves it.
He does love it. If you got no bucks to toss our way on Patreon.
Behind you.
Fuego, is that a Gold Ranger behind you? Yeah.
Is that the Gold Ranger?
It is not. It is the Dino Thunder Black Ranger, which is still Jason Day for Frank. Still Jason Day for Frank.
But there you go. Yes. Sorry.
I have a bunch of fun toys, but go ahead, Greg.
Oh, thanks, guys. I have permission to keep enjoying the show. Remember, if you have no bucks, toss away on patreon.com/kindoffunny. No big deal. You can get each and every episode of the Kind of Funny podcast, youtube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe each and every week. Remember, of course, too, that if you're buying video games on the Epic Game Store, use creator code KINDOFFUNNY. If you're like, I don't play PC games, no big deal. Maybe you play Fortnite. Maybe you play Rocket League. Maybe you play Fall Guys on your PlayStation, your Xbox, your Switch. You can use the creator code KINDOFFUNNY in that version of the Epic Game Store as well. Housekeeping for you, Obi-Wan. That's right, Kenobi is coming to Disney Plus, and we have reactions up to the trailer right now on youtube.com/kindoffunny. You can go check that out. Thank you, our Patreon producers, Delaney Twinning, Gordon McGuire, James Davis, aka at James Davis Makes, Bionicle in Review 2022, Fargo Brady, and Pranksky. Today we're brought to you by Upstart, ExpressVPN, Chime, and Babbel, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's get back to our show with Fuego del Sol.
So glad you clarified which Obi-Wan.
It was. There's a lot going on. I don't mean Obi-Wan McGuire. All right, what I mean? That's what I'm saying. We, of course, mean Obi-Wan Kenobi. All right? It's weird they don't put in the title. You know what I mean? And I say that not understanding what the title of the show is. Is it Obi-Wan? I don't know. What do they call it?
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, so it is
remember
in the title.
Remember the lightsaber's the eye.
Is the eye.
But there's the eye and Obi. So you know what I mean?
That would have been smart. You could have called it Obi. And it could have just been a situational comedy about Obi-Wan Kenobi hanging out in his cave by himself, talking to his little thermos.
Hey, his thermos. Cave.
Yeah, remember he had a cave.
I know, which I don't understand. Where he just, it was so far away, he had to go live in a cave.
He was hiding out so he could keep watching young Luke Skywalker grow into a young boy.
There was an apartment in the cave, right?
Yeah, I mean, he had some built-in furniture for sure that he may have carved out with his brain.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Can you imagine that, him carving it out? I hope this.
Well, lightsaber. What the fuck else do you need, right?
Do you remember how in hysterics we were on one podcast where we were wondering, we thought it was the funniest shit in the world to argue about how Yoda made a bowl and a spoon? You remember that when he got dropped that Dagobah? We thought it was like the funny. We're like, we need to make a video about this. It's some of the things we say completely sober. You look back on as if we're drunk. I've thought back on that joke many a times. Like, it wasn't even that funny. Yeah, he's got the force. He made a spoon.
You know what's so funny, Tim? You're spot on. Why did I think he carved his fucking house into a cave?
I don't know. Think about like where he first gave Luke the lightsaber and all that.
Yeah, you're right. That's why. Because it's like a dirt hut. That's what it is.
Embedded into a mountain?
The top of a mountain, but it looks like he carved it out of the mountain. That's why I think I was mistaken. Because inside looks like it's all like, it's very, earthy.
Mm-hmm. Ryan Poala Higgins writes into patreon.com/kindoffunny and says, hey everyone, I was just wondering if Fuego del Sol can give the audience some history on KBW, parentheses, kids backyard wrestling, and will they sign backyard wrestling vet Greg Miller? Thanks, Ryan. On the second part of that, like I'm kind of a lot like William Regal. You bring me in right now, you know what I mean? Just saying, putting on there.
He cut a promo last night on AEW, and he was just talking about how he's a washed up old pro wrestler.
Exactly, that's me.
KBW for one, just like I said, started when I was just very young. I got a camera for Christmas one Christmas. And I was like, you know what? Oh my God, this is be 11, 12, 13. Era-ish. And that's before I really knew what I was doing with YouTube. Like at one point, me and my brother, who's just a year younger than me, we got into a real fight outside, and I thought it would be hilarious to fight each other legit. And then my parents found it on YouTube. That is the birthplace of my channel, is that me and my brother was legit fist fighting outside. Oh my God. And I thought, this would be funny if I just embarrassed him and put it up on YouTube until my
parents found out. Like, here's what I'll do.
That reminds me of that one part in 21 Jump Street where he's like, why would anyone put this on the internet? And he goes, because they're kids. They're stupid.
Exactly. So then later, we started putting up videos of just, and it's just really bad stuff. But eventually, you get a little older, you learn a little bit. And once I got was able to drive, I thought, what's even better than just wrestling with my brothers? If I can drive and get all the other neighborhood kids to join in. And so I feel like that was the biggest thing, that we just had such a large roster of kids and dumb names that we come up with these dumb matches.
Now, growing up, I hated physical activity, which is why I joined marching band. in theater.
I don't know. I've heard you're a hell of a shadow boxer.
I'm a great shadow boxer, but that's only at night. That's when it's cool.
Okay, okay.
That's my unfortunately, my kryptonite is daytime. Doing anything in the light of day.
You're like the lamest sun. Vampire.
Exactly. It's just like, oh man, second I start sweating, I'm like, there's chafing that's happening right now. It's a whole rigmarole. Was that a hard sell for people in the neighborhood? Like, hey, come do this ridiculous thing that may result in, at the very least, a broken finger?
Well, I mean, this is before TikTok, Nick. This is before we had, you know, a lot of, back in the day before the earth started getting much hotter, you could mm-hmm. send your kids outside and just and let them go. And okay. So for a long time, it was just, we'd play football. It was almost a bargaining chip because I was the biggest wrestling fan in the family. Mm-hmm. So it was like, hey, I'll play baseball with you, brother, if you then get on the trampoline and let me beat you up for a little bit.
Yeah, let me throw you around.
But then after one of the videos went viral, and, you know, we started getting a little bit of traction on YouTube. Then at school, out of the woodworks, people started coming at me.
So how did one of the videos go viral?
Because, again, like Tim Geddes, I'm a schemer, right? And so when I would title the videos, I would title them Jeff Hardy versus Edge, and we'd pretend to be Jeff Hardy versus Edge. So I would score.
But you committed to it. I like that.
Of course. We'd do all the same moves. We'd come out, like, at one point, we had one guy dressed up as The Undertaker, but we only had a red cowboy hat. So he's out there with a red cowboy hat instead of the black hat, and he'd do the whole thing. You know how Undertaker, the lights go off and come back on. He's standing there.
Yeah.
So for the trick, for the magic editing trick we used to do, mm-hmm. we just stick our hand in front of the camera and then move it back, and he'd be in the ring.
That's incredible.
Nailed it. Crushed it. Yeah, of course.
But those started picking up steam, and then we'd come up, I'd be like, oh, it's match stipulations, right? So a Royal Rumble, if we have a Royal Rumble and we title it Royal Rumble, you see a bunch of kids on a trampoline getting tossed off, other kids are going to want to click on this. Oh, and so that's what happened. It just slowly, and once we had a few videos and enough subscribers, we gained right around like 10,000 subscribers. I was like, okay, we're doing weekly videos. And we created our own storylines. And like at that time, I was a little bit old enough to understand things better and put things together. And so I was commentating, editing, scripting everything, planning out all the matches, doing it all, trying to make this thing bigger and bigger.
I also,
Nick 96 in the chat says, we have Jeff Hardy versus Edge at home.
Kevin, this is, you scroll back to the very front of this video, if it's the most recent one I sent. I appreciate that the title is The Undertaker and Rey Mysterio versus Edge and Cage. You put your own name in it.
That's a big thing, right? I knew eventually we were going to move on to do.
You're totally using the others to get you over, even in the title. Yes, I love it. Yes. Yeah, Kevin, it's I just sent you a brand new video. That's the one.
Backfired a little bit.
775,000 views on this.
Jesus Christ.
If you jump, let it play, because I think it's at 24 seconds that we do the Undertaker transition with the camera. There you are, just cutting a promo, just letting people know what KBW is all about.
A lot of people then would just correct me in the comments, like, I think he meant to say he's Kane. And that changed.
And then look, handover. This is going to be the Undertaker's big reveal.
I respect how long that
takes.
Boom,
there's the Taker. There's Taker in the red cowboy hat, as everybody remembers from parts unknown.
The classic red cowboy hat, long cargo shorts Undertaker. That's my favorite.
A well-known Undertaker look. Well-known Undertaker look.
Yeah. Hey, man. From the genius that it was my 13-year-old mind, you know?
I love it, dude.
That's what's so... It's so funny to watch, like, the creativity that you had back then, because and just out of necessity of being like, I want to do this fun thing. Don't like what's the path of least resistance to getting the Undertaker on? I want to cover the leg. Don't cut the camera and then restart. Let's just cover the leg. Cover the lens.
I didn't master editing yet, Nick. Even with the song in the video, it's just us holding our cell phones up to the camera, playing the music.
That reminds me, literally, my first like project I ever worked on in high school, I think was like, I want to say it was like a reinterpretation of Shakespeare. And of course, I did a short film that I wish I freaking had still that was done in the style of GoldenEye, because I was a huge fan of GoldenEye back then. I don't know why, Tim. And I remember that's what we used to have to do. We used to have to do VHS to VHS editing. You'd have to go tape to tape editing. And if we needed a song, you had to just have that song in the scene. And I'll never forget watching it in class. I was like, this is a masterpiece. And we went back to watch it. And for some reason, I thought it'd be funny if a scene unfolded with just two people sitting in bathroom stalls. So you can just see their feet. But I didn't understand the acoustics of bathrooms. So
I can't understand
it. It is just useless. I think we had to subtitle it eventually. But
dude, yeah. I... I totally can relate to that. But my first like real video project was a similar Shakespeare type thing, because that's just what fucking high school kids have to do. And we were doing the video production for it, but I didn't have a computer. So like the idea of video editing, I'm like, there's no way that's even possible with what I have. So I had to shoot everything in order.
In sequence. Mm-hmm.
Yep. In sequence, just like live to the tape, like kind of just like what Frigo's video is here, where it's like there was no cutting or editing. It was just like it's all live happening. And like you gotta love the ingenuity, though. That's how we got here, you know, solving problems that need to be solved.
Tim, do you remember when you'd have to redo a scene? You'd be like, fuck, you gotta rewind it just to that right part of the tape and then hit record exactly again. And inevitably, there was always a couple frames in there that made no sense. You're like, God, this is the worst.
That was the thing, you know, over Fraternity Break. I've talked about it a bunch of times. I don't think I talked about this one, but. My friend who did BYWF with me, you know what I mean? My assassin, AK-47, he hit me up and he's like, hey, I'm making a documentary about BYWF because we, you know, broke up 20 years ago. And like, there's like little cliques of people that talk, but not everybody. Mm-hmm. And so he traveled the country interviewing everybody. And so when he got to me, I was like the last stop on the tour. He'd already talked to everybody. He talked to parents. He talked to my mom. He talked to he went back to the neighborhood where my house used to be, filmed there, walked up blind, cold called, knocked on a door. It was like, hey, I'm Jason. I work on this thing. I'm making this. I make movies. I'm making this documentary. We used to wrestle here. Would you mind if I did interviews in your front yard? And they're like, yeah, no problem. And they let him interview Poe and Camps and all of them or whatever. But
thank
when he
God
got
for
here,
Jason. Thank God. Right? You and Nick have been talking about digitizing your old tapes for years. But again, you know, Jason, a guy who actually gets shit done, went out and did what they needed to be done.
First off, how dare you, sir? And normally I would disagree, but I would also agree with you. But I did reach out to Greg because over the break when everything really went lockdown, I got all the things I needed to digitize some old home videos here. And I reached out to Greg and I was like, do you want this setup? I can come set this up for you, or I can probably do it for you. And he was like, no, Jason's already working on this. Mm-hmm. So while I was late to the game, I did offer that service to Greg. Now, is it easier said than done? Yeah, but I'm going to sit on that real
My hard. Whole That's thing was I mind. Just didn't want to talk to everybody. I don't have enough time to hit up the 12 kids we wrestled with. Kevin, I just sent you two links, but if you click on the most recent one, which is the video, that's actually got us wrestling and screaming because it's just us screaming for whatever, however many shows or whatever. Like, it was so much work. I was like, I don't want to go through asking people if it's okay to use this or publish it. Not to mention, I thought people wouldn't be about it. And everyone Jason's talked to has been down to do it, kind of around it or whatever.
I'm interested to see what he does with it, and then I want to see if he'll let us take that footage and just make our own narrative story out of it, because I want to do like an 8-part miniseries that's just us redubbing these lines and telling a ridiculous story.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that's gonna happen on its own.
Yeah, it's never gonna happen. Look at how young you guys were.
God, this is chaos.
I love how he slows down with the chair right at the end. Hold on.
We don't want to hurt each other. You know what I mean? Like, we weren't like Fuego,
so
you know
mad.
What I mean?
I used to get so mad if my friends wouldn't really hit me. I'm like, hit me.
Well, for real. That's been the funniest thing about it. You talk about fighting your brother. Like when Jason came back, like we watched these tapes together and did commentary on a few of them and talked about angles and things we were doing. But it was that thing of like.
Was Jason throw powder in his eyes?
Baby powder in my eyes, yeah.
That's good.
And if you remember, when he did that, that was our friend Mike doing it to me, and I was like, he showed that clip to me, and I was like, you know, I've done this on a stage in front of a million people. Remember that screw attack thing where I did it to people or whatever?
Yeah.
But like, it was that, there it is again. The thing about it was like, Jason and I took it so seriously. And so like, just like you're talking about, Fuego, like, you know, the commentators are just behind the camera because we were the same way. We didn't know how to edit video, so you had to film everything. And so we get in fights. Like, there's like verbal altercations while you're wrestling. You're wrestling somebody, but then you're mad at the commentator for not saying the right thing or doing the right thing.
Oh, God. There's one thing. One time we get put through a table and my friend on commentary says, oh, he gets put through the chair and I just wanted to rip his head off. I'm like, it's a clear. Or like one of us did a backflip and he says front flip and it drives me insane.
It's such a nightmare of like, you're trying so hard and then somebody else gets something wrong. I don't know about you. We never prepped anybody. We didn't ever tell anybody what we're doing.
Of course, same here.
We wanted to get the reaction, but then you'd fuck up the reaction. We'd be mad. Or you're out of place for the shot we wanted that you didn't tell.
Eventually, after I illegally downloaded Sony Vegas Pro, I learned how to I dubbed in my own commentary. So me and AK, we took it way too seriously, me and AK, because like if you go to our channel, there's probably 1,000 matches of just me versus AK because we knew we would take it serious enough.
Yeah, Sony exactly.
Vegas,
so,
Sony Vegas Pro.
Yo, shout out to Sony Vegas, man. Sony that's for the real OGs. I love that.
Dude, that's how you fucking know you were there back in the day. And you were like, because you always had that one friend that's like, dude, Sony Vegas, it's going to be the thing. It's the next thing. And it was not.
I
was shamed. Dude, when I first went to IGN, I was shamed. Chris Ostertag would never let me hear the end of it. He's like, you're not allowed to ever use Sony Vegas again. And I was like, well, excuse you, sir. It is the past, present, and future of video editing software. And I'm so happy I haven't used it in 10 years.
Is it even around anymore? I don't even know. The same thing when I came in. I was a Final Cut guy. And I remember coming in and Fran was all Avid, and Avid is terrible for that workflow. It was just the absolute wrong call. And then finally, I was like, we got to do Final Cut. And he's like, no. And then eventually we settled on Premiere, of course, because that's the best thing. But I remember I had a buddy of mine, Tim, another guy named Tim, who was like, dude, Sony Vegas, man, you got to check it out, man. You got to. I was like, do you rep Sony Vegas? Like, are you getting fucking paid for every install? What's happening?
Oh, yeah, man.
He was a nice guy.
So, Fuego, my question for you is, you said the video goes viral, you start making money on YouTube, and then that's when you like pay for wrestling school through it. Was wrestling professionally always the plan, or was it like you just did it for shits and giggles and then fell into it?
No, man, for the longest time, like I said, I've been a wrestling fan since birth. My dad is a huge wrestling fan, so we always bonded, and I have two younger brothers who just at some point around the 11, 12, 13, they grow out of it, and I never did. And I had no clue. I thought I want to make a lot of money, so I'll go into business for college or something, but I really had no clue. And it wasn't until I started making money off of wrestling on YouTube, and I was like, man, if I could do this on YouTube and wrestle in the backyard and make money, I should at least give this a shot professionally. And it kind of motivated me to go ahead and pursue it legit. It also kind of fell in my lap as well, because I originally was just reaching out to the guy because I wanted to buy a wrestling ring. I was like, we make enough money now. I want to put a ring in my backyard. And he's like, cool. Incredible. I don't feel comfortable selling a 17-year-old a wrestling ring. I will train you. And so he invited me over.
He's like, listen, I don't want you to die in your backyard using my ring. So
yeah, I was like, he made us sign waivers just to even get into his ring and train because we were so young. So he's like, you know, maybe I shouldn't sell you one if I got to get you to sign a waiver just to step in it.
That's so funny.
God. Yeah. But we were like, again, out of nowhere. Like, I remember my first YouTube check. It was just for half a month. And it was like $480. And I was just like, oh, my God, I'm rich. And so I immediately bought me and three of my friends like tickets to this TNA house show. Yeah. And so we went, sat.
We're living large. Get a popcorn. Get a hot dog.
But then like the money just kept going up. And so eventually I was like, we got to get a ring. And then I messaged the guy and he's like, I'll train you guys. And so me and a couple other my buddies, I paid for us to get trained. And we trained for 3 months at school, three nights a week. We were just going and going hard. And then we started professionally wrestling. And like, it's a lot like stand-up comedy, Nick. You know, you're traveling around for little to no money at all, just trying to get your name out there. And I did that for 7 long, hard years before the pandemic happened. And then AEW kind of all fell in my lap at one time. So it's been a great thing. And then I got to credit you guys, because I've done a lot of crazy car rides by myself for wrestling shows. And so I would always just throw on the KF podcast or In Review or everything. Like, you guys don't know how much you kind of helped get me through these long drives. I live... My hometown is in Alabama, so I would drive from Oklahoma to Alabama, and that's 11 hours back and forth. So as many podcast downloads I could get, I would. Like I said, so I've been deep into Kind of Funny since 2015, hardcore. So I thank you guys for that, for sure.
So question for you then. So how are you finding and or reaching out and getting these gigs along the way for 7 years? Because that's something that, like, that's really tough for comics, right? Is you'll have to, like, I have friends and I've thought long and hard about doing this, but that'll go up to Reno, right? They'll drive down to San Diego in a night just because they reached out on Facebook and were like, hey, here's a clip of me. Can I come down and do your show? And you go down there for a bar show for three people and you just wasted like $400 worth of gas.
But how do you do that? $20.
Yeah. How do you do that 7 years ago? How do you even start that ball rolling with identifying where to go to wrestle?
It's all about networking and finding out things. Like, I found a spot in Oklahoma that did some big shows, and I went and I just showed up and I helped set up the ring. I helped do all of those things, and they let me do a tryout match before the show. I wrestle real well. They like me. They say, hey, you can work for free tonight. And so I work for free, and they're like, hey, now you're on every show. And then you wrestle a guy who's from Texas. And I'm like, hey, man, I would really like to wrestle in Texas. How do I do that? And he's like, well, I know a guy. I can talk to the promoter and see if I can get you on. And you restart that process. That's or cool. Like eventually when I really wanted to expand from Oklahoma to Texas, I just went on Facebook and found every independent company I could. I set up this whole resume. I'm Fuego. I've been wrestling for this long. I was trained by this guy. Here's a YouTube highlight tape that I made. Here's a promo that I've done. You send it out and then you just drive. And sometimes I would drive 7 hours down to San Antonio for $50 and barely break even. But that would get me booked. That would, I'd meet a few more people and they'd help me get booked even farther. And so like in 2018, it was like the week after I had had my my second child. And I got this opportunity to go to Canada. And like, I was going to make no money, but I just wanted to wrestle in Canada to say I've done it. And so me and four other guys from four different states, we all got together and we made like a 50-hour round trip to Canada, wrestled and drove up to Canada and Winnipeg. Like, we got to the border and I swear it was just like out of a show. The Border Patrol got us out of the car and she's from Canada. And she was just like, so what do you want to go to Canada for, eh? And I was like, yo, they really say A up here.
Yeah,
and
they so, it's a problem. It's an issue.
And we were like, and we were all from four different stations. That we were like, well, we just want to wrestle. They're like, are you making any money from it? And I was like, maybe like $30 Canadian was what we're making out of this. And she's like, okay, well, here you go. And I was like, if there was a moose and some maple syrup, it would have been a full,
probably was.
A full
probably.
Canadian experience out of that.
Yeah, they actually do have that. They do ride moose up there. That's the plural of moose, right? But moose.
Then on the way back down, I stopped at a spot in Minnesota, and I knew a guy where I wrestled with him in Philadelphia, and he was like, hey, you don't need to just be on the pre-show. You need to be on the main show. So he helped me get up higher. I sold a bunch of merch and just coming up with T-shirts or masks or pictures, and you're trying to just try to make it and survive. And I eventually did that. Like I said, for the first... And a lot of YouTube helped with that because, like, even when I was in Oklahoma during college, the first 4 years of that, I was still making a little bit of money from YouTube where I didn't have to get a real job. And then eventually life hit, you have kids, you had to get a real job, then you have to balance that real job with trying to travel on the weekends and do all of these independent shows. Mm-hmm. It's a whole process, but we made it work. We got here now. So
that's the fear I have with Greg because he just had a kid. And I'm like, any day now he's going to tell Tim and I he's got to get a real job.
He's got to start a real job. That's going to make money. All right. These Oreos have been good, but...
So you're talking about all the indie stuff going to Canada 2018. That, I mean, I guess it was 4 years ago now, but like that wasn't that long ago. Now you're on AEW. Like, what was that transition, especially right now with AEW kind of being the biggest competition WWE has ever seen and like kind of being up there? Like, I'm watching clips and stuff. And like, even last night, Jeff Hardy coming out, like, that's insane. And we're talking sold out crowds with like a ton of people. Like, that is insane. Like, how was that transition?
Dude, it's crazy. And again, it gets accredited back to YouTube. So I was trying to wrestle in Texas forever. I couldn't figure out how to get there. And so I was just scrolling Facebook and I saw this guy that was a wrestler there and didn't even think about it. A couple weeks later, he messages me on my YouTube channel. And he's like, hey, I'm an independent wrestler. I see KBW has all of these views. Can you post one of my videos on your channel and help me get my name up? And I was like, that's so funny. You're a world champion over here at this world champion in this small part of Texas. Could you help me get on this show? And if you get me on the show, I'll get you on my YouTube channel. And he did that. He helped me out and got me booked. And so I put him on my channel. We developed a friendship. He was doing vlogs. And he was asking me for YouTube advice. I would ask him for wrestling advice. And we would just help each other out. And then out of nowhere in 2019, he gets signed to AEW. His name is Sammy Guevara. Me and him developed such a good close friendship that when the pandemic happened and there was all of these wrestlers that they had signed that were stuck in either Mexico or UK or Japan, they needed guys to work for AEW. And he said, hey, you've helped me out so much in my career. Let me extend a hand to you and help you out. And he brought me on and I just would work just these random, we call them extra spots. Like, you'd become an extra at a movie and you go in and you'd wrestle their contract guys. But I would come there so much and he was still doing his weekly vlog on YouTube. And so I started doing skits and bits on there and I was real funny and we helped each other out and it became a whole movement to where by the time they went back on the road and after about a year of doing this vlog stuff and these extra spots, they were stuck in Jacksonville. So we would constantly just be filming stuff in Jacksonville. But when they were about to go back on the road, it seemed like they were going to stop using these extras and it became a whole thing. Is Fuego going to get signed? And because of his vlog and YouTube and because of all the work I put in, then last year on TV, they surprised me. Him and Tony Khan signed me TV live. I was in tears crying. It was incredible. It was an incredible experience, but they signed me live on TV and that's I got awesome. This contract all because of YouTube and the vlog, and it kind of translated all the way back to KBW. So I would have definitely never have made it to AEW if it wasn't for KBW.
Dude, I mean, it's incredible. Like right before we started doing the show today, I watched that video and it got me tearing up. And like, yo, everyone needs to go watch this video.
Oh, for hold on, I gave Kevin a bunch of links. I actually did pre-pro on this that I don't normally do. So,
good for you, Greg.
First off, we're going to do a sponsor break. Then, Kevin, let's come back and I want to show first off the match that I have is Fuego in the AEW ring, and then we'll show the latest thing I sent, which is the sequel to that. But first, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you about Patreon.com/KindOfFunny. Over on Patreon.com/KindOfFunny, you can write in to be part of the show, just like Ryan Poala Higgins did with his question earlier. You could be watching live like Lexi G is, Omega 3 is, and Nick Gaios is. Of course, you get the show ad-free, which I think I said. You get the post show. You can do all this stuff and support us. But guess what? You're not watching on patreon.com/kindoffunny. So here's a word from our sponsors.
Shout out to MeUndies. We've all been there trying on clothes in a dressing room, and everything makes you look like three kids hiding in a coat. Finding the perfect size is annoying. That's why MeUndies makes undies, bralettes, and loungewear to fit just right. Y'all know how long I've loved MeUndies. I am often wearing the shirt, the lounge pants, the undies, the socks, like I'm doing right now. If I was a cartoon character, this would just be my outfit. It would just be all MeUndies. I love it because of the soft micromodal fabric and because it does fit really well. MeUndies knows that comfort starts with the perfect size and fit. That's why they wear test all sizes from extra small to 4XL for everything they make. They've got different cuts for different butts and everything from bold colors to fun adventurous prints, so the world can be a comfier place for every booty. MeUndies promises if you're not comfortable with any product for any reason, you can return your order for a full refund within 45 days. MeUndies has a great offer for y'all. For any first-time purchasers, you can get 15% off and free shipping right to your door. To get 50% off your first order, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/KindOfFunny. That's MeUndies.com/KindOfFunny. Shout out to DoorDash. Sometimes pulling into your driveway after a trip to the grocery store only to realize you forgot one key ingredient for dinner kind of feels like the end of the world. But with DoorDash, you can get the groceries and household essentials you need or a backup meal from your favorite local restaurant delivered in under an hour. Desperately craving a late night snack or just want to stock up for the week with DoorDash, get it all in one app. We've been using DoorDash forever. You hear us on the Kind of Funny podcast always talking about the different taquerias we're ordering from, the different burger places we're ordering from. We are super happy and we love to just get the food delivered right to us. For a limited time, you guys can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code KINDAFUNNY. That's 25% off up to a $10 value and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code KINDAFUNNY. Don't forget, that's code KINDAFUNNY for 25% off your first order with DoorDash. Subject to change, terms apply.
All right, so yes, back to it. Kevin, if you can show the first clip, the Fuego in the AEW ring, like, oh, this is incredible. The match, right?
This giant Bulgarian man.
Oh my god.
And so the what they had given you here first is you just take off and are awesome.
Like, yeah, this is before the bell even rung. So this match was, if I win, I get a contract. And so I attack him before the bell and everyone's going nuts because, like, this guy's been undefeated. He's been killing guys. And there's a chance here, oh my God, if I can beat this guy, I'll get a job. This is my first time that I've wrestled on TV. I don't normally only wrestle on their YouTube show. So I had built up this move for a year on the vlog that I'm the master of the Tornado DDT, but I would never hit it, right? And I finally, because if I hit it, I would win a match, but I wasn't winning because I wasn't signed. And so here, for the match that gets me for the contract, I hit it immediately twice, and the place is going
awesome.
Bananas.
Awesome. Dude, instead, it's not just against no one. Like, you're up against Miro here, man.
That is formerly awesome. Rusev, yeah. So, like, it's for the belt, but at this point, if you win by count out, I wouldn't win the belt, but I would still get the contract. So I'm just saying, count his ass out. Count his ass out. Let's go.
So, what I find interesting, because we're going to, if Kevin, you want to let this play, AEW will probably be cool and not kill us.
I hope so. I'll talk to their lawyers. We'll see.
Thank you very much. Yeah, you hit somebody up for us, right? Yeah. The idea, though, is like, so you know then, obviously, that, you know, you're not going to win. Of course. You didn't know they were going to come out and give you a contract? That is legit? No clue.
That's completely legit. So I lose here, and I had done a couple small TV spots where I got beat up in the back the past 2 weeks before. And so I'm just thinking, oh, at least I'm getting on TV at all. Well, you know, I'm not signed, but I'm on TV. But here, this was the launch of their second show called Rampage on Friday nights. And I was like, he's been destroying guys. I'll get destroyed. And in my head, I'm thinking, oh, this is good. I got my first match on TV. I lose. He's about to pick up the contract here and rip it up. But in my head, I'm happy because I'm like, hey, I got on TV. It went really well. The crowd seemed to enjoy it.
Kevin, if you send the most recent clip I just sent you, this is Sammy coming out. And so this is because this ends, if I'm right.
Yeah, this ends, right? It goes to commercial break. And during the commercial break, I'm looking at the ref and I'm like, that went well, right? Like, we're good? Like, it can't get any better than that for a TV debut. And little did I know it was about to get so much better.
So how did you notice thing in the ring? Were they just like...
the ref's got an earpiece that says, hey, Tony Khan, the owner, wants you to stay in here because after the commercial break, you're going to stand up and they want to give you the standing ovation from the crowd for being so tough. So I thought, I'm trying to stand here and look tough, Nick. I'm like, and then Sammy's music hit and I'm like, oh my God, what's happening? Because I have no clue what's going on.
Dude, I love it, man. It is so genuine. It's so authentic. Like watching this, it's like, you know, with wrestling, it's always that thing of it's scripted, but you want to make it feel real. And like there's that line, that balance. And like, this is as real so as it cool because it's as real as it gets, man. Like, and my it's so well
friend,
done.
My best friend who, like I said, I'm on his vlog every week. We do a weekly YouTube vlog. We never had been on TV together. He was a big star. So they didn't want him associating with like a smaller extra on screen.
This fucking loser.
And then this. So here it is. Now he's the one who hands me my contract.
Oh, this is your friend?
In ring. Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a sign for it. Like I said, we built up a movement on his vlog. And so like there was a bunch of people constantly asking for me to get signed and signs being brought, said sign Fuego. And then he finally says, I can't believe I get to say as your best friend that Fuego del Sol is now All Elite, because the company's called All Elite Wrestling, and so that's what they say. And then I hug him, and I'm in dead tears on national television. It was a great moment, man. One of the
incredible,
best moments
of my career. Dude, your boy Sammy has great fashion sense. Just want to say,
of course.
You're saying that
some dope jackets, ones, baby. Let's go.
Yes.
So, how relieved is your wife and children that you are now have a full-time job and can like hang out, I think, with a more regularity?
Dude, I got to give credit to my wife so much because I told her 7 years ago, I was like, hey, I told her from day one, I was like, hey, you're a great gal. I really like you a lot.
Yeah,
however,
pretty cool.
I have this dream that I've set out on doing and I'm dead set on doing this. So this is your out now. If you want to leave, it's going to be very hard. I'm going to be going a lot. I'm going to make a lot of, not a lot of money. And I'm going to make some stupid decisions based on what everyone else thinks, you know? And she's like, hey, I'm with you. I'm riding with you. And for 6.5 years, she was my sugar mama. You know, she helped pay the bills when I couldn't do it, even through two kids. And
damn, dude.
I remember just after that moment, I remember getting to the back and I remember FaceTiming her and she's in tears and I'm getting teary eyed thinking about it. I'm just like, we did it. I told you we'd do it. And it's because I couldn't get here without you. We did it. And there was such a moment, man. I still get chills thinking about it. So
how's it been since then? You had this
it's
moment at your side,
it's
like you're all elite now.
The world. Every week I'm traveling to different shows. I get to wrestle. I keep doing this vlog with my best friend. It's the greatest job in the world. Most times we're only on the road 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Sometimes, like last week was pay-per-view week, so we were going all week. But getting to see the world, getting a weekly paycheck, whether I wrestle or not, like from going to making $50, $75, $100 to getting, you know, making six figures in wrestling is like the coolest thing in the world. And it all paid off. The hard work all paid off, man. So it's the best feeling in the world.
That's super cool, man.
And what I love about it is that you are still the kid you were in the
100%.
Kevin, if we want to show this, you mentioned it briefly, Jeff Hardy, and you immediately went like this. You were live streaming your reaction.
Because of the pay-per-view last week, we were on the road 6 days, and I knew I wasn't going to be needed on Dynamite last night, so I asked to come home.
Let's go to the same home, music!
But I thought I'd Twitch stream my reaction to Jeff Hardy showing up last night.
Let's actually listen to this one.
I'm tweeting out just in case he shows up. I'm writing my tweet right now. Just
let's go! Let's go, brother Nero! I knew you'd come!
Yeah, I gotta start doing
let's
the dance.
Let's go!
Here.
Let's go! I got the same theme music! How did they pull that shit off? Let's go!
I love you say what we all thought of. Like, how do they have the same music?
Yeah.
Hardy!
Yeah,
That'll never not get old, man. I was pretending to be Matt and Jeff Hardy on my trampoline as a kid, and here we are. I'm co-workers with them, bro.
That is so damn crazy. I mean, how's that been? I mean, obviously Jeff is new to it right now, but how's it been interacting with like legends?
Oh my AEW god, dude. I was at WrestleMania 30 when Daniel Bryan won both titles and is doing the yes. I was there in New Orleans. And so now for him to be my coach, for me and him to have like playful banter in the back, for CM Punk, a guy, you know, that left WWE for 7 years, who I loved. I had 7, 8, 9, 10 CM Punk shirts. And so for him to be like, just Phil to me now, that's my buddy Phil. It's nuts, man. It's nuts, dude. I cried when Daniel Bryan had to retire, man, when he had his neck injury. So now to be able to say I might be able to wrestle him soon, it blows my mind. But at the end of the day, I just want their respect, right? So I had a match last December where I was losing pretty fast on TV, and I haven't really let anyone know this, and maybe he'll be mad at me, but maybe he won't. Right after the match, I come through the curtain, and the first one to meet me was CM Punk, and he was just, hey, you know, I mean, a lot of people are excited about this guy's debut, and I know you just lost, but without your performance, without people like you, we couldn't make this whole thing successful. And so just to get those encouraging words from a guy that I looked up to all my life and CM Punk, it'll never not be surreal to me, man. I'm living my dream, man, 100%.
Yeah. It must be nice to have one of your coworkers realize that you're just an incredible foundation and support structure for the whole
company. Hey, for the record, Nick, for the record, I tell Tim that all the time, how much we're going to do this.
Okay.
I say it to Kevin, too. If you're a vital kind of funny employee, you know it. Listen, Roger.
Tim killed KFAF, so I don't want to hear a goddamn word about Tim.
He's still out there killing things depending on what Reddit thread you read.
I didn't know this, though. I asked a question I had. Me and AK were talking. I was like, you know, what can I... Because when you have guests on, I watch the show regularly, right? So I want the vibe to still feel like the kind of funny podcast, not just y'all interviewing me. So I was like, what can I bring to the table? And I was like, you know, I just want to learn about what all you guys do behind the scenes that we don't know about. We see you guys turn it on, but what is the other official jobs at Kind of Funny that you do when you're not done? Like, Greg, you've been emailing me back and forth. I know Tim handles a bunch of the sponsorship stuff. Like, what else does everyone do within Kind of Funny?
It's a big question, right? And I think most of it, for some, it's you already know, I think, at the tip of the iceberg, right? Where, like, so for me, I'm booking shows, I'm booking guests, I'm usually planning that out. I'm usually looking the week ahead to make sure Games Daily and the other shows are covered, or if somebody's moving. Tim and I tag team game coverage to a degree. I would think I lead it in terms of getting codes, and then also coming to Tim and being like, review embargo for X is this, so that means Gamescast should be that. But that trades back and forth a little bit. But I would say, yeah, for like producing show planning, like that kind of thing for games would fall on my shoulders, right, Tim? I'm not speaking out of
turn. Totally. I feel like with most things, between like everyone on the team, not just the three of us, but like everyone, there'd be like a lead on something and then like the main support on that thing. So it's like Greg and I will like tag team in different ways, where it's like he's the lead more on the game side of things, but like he'll come to me to lock something in or to get my perspective on it, and vice versa. It'll be like I'll go to him talking about like the in review stuff of like, here's what I'm thinking for this, and then they'll lock it in that way. But with Nick, it'll be more like kind of dealing with him on the more production side of things. Like, we just went to lunch a couple days ago and like had a fantastic talk about what cameras we want to get for the new studio, and like it's that type of stuff where it's the more the production businessy side. Like there's so many levels to what production means, because it's like to make the content, to edit the content, to do the content, what is the content? Like, all of that kind of just requires everybody to, you say, like, we turn it on. I really do feel like we are able to just be ourselves, or like organically on the show, and we talk about what we do so much because that is the content. It is our lives. So I feel like you actually have a much more accurate insight into what our jobs are than you'd expect. Like, I don't think there's that many like hidden things.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like the thing that's weird though is that it'll shock people that we actually run the company. Because like you think that like, okay, you see people, because traditionally you're used to seeing people on camera, right? But you know, people come up now and you got to do everything from running the company to paying the taxes. And so like it's they're underplaying what they do here. They like Greg and Tim are like the backbone of basically our entire outreach and our entire promotional arm of this business. And they're the ones that interface with pretty much everyone, from the sponsorship side to the PR side to guests that want to come on to even our, like, there's nights where Greg will be like at midnight on Patreon or interfacing with Joey, just trying to, you know, message stuff and do stuff.
I mean,
like
right
that.
There, I would say for sure, Patreon, give Joey all the credit in the world. She's the one scheduling the posts, making sure things go up and organizing all that, looking at, I'm as surprised as everybody else when a new month starts and I find out what the Patreon reward's going to be for platinum. Because right. I know Joey's got it taken care of, and like she kills it every time, right? In terms of what they're doing. It's awesome like that.
Yeah.
And then Roger with TikToks, Cool Greg with edits, all of them getting bugged at all hours of the night for things. You know, Roger running his own team now for TikToks, which is incredible. Barrett tweeting and also then now being like, co-producer, right behind Kevin. Kevin usually lead producer on all the shows in terms of directing and making sure they run and stuff. But Barrett can do that now too. And then Barrett, of course, running the ever-growing Meta Cricket website that we have on twitter.com/meta_cricket. killing it there. Kevin making sure everything works. Kevin, runs a show in the morning and then drives to my house to set up a new tripod and a new thing and a new arm and all that jazz. Yeah. So, and then, of course, Nick and Kevin making sure the studio is happening from a moment-to-moment thing, whereas Tim has the vision for the overall studio of what that's going to be.
Yeah, poor Kevin has been, we've been tag teaming the studio, and he'll just roll. He rolled in from Greg's the other day, just smoking a cigarette like Dan Aykroyd from Ghostbusters because he's so overworked. He's like,
"Beautiful,
what
the fuck
are we doing? Are we talking about sinks today? What's happening?" We're gonna have a deep dive when the studio's done, and
absolutely, I cannot wait.
Fucking drunk, we're gonna get cannot so wait. Drunk when this is done.
You gotta come see it when it's done.
Absolutely, hey, man. AEW's coming to the West Coast a lot during the summer, and we're hitting Vegas for the first time in May. I've never been to Vegas, so I can't wait for that.
Oh, you're
so definitely when you guys finally open back up in the studio, I gotta drop by. Gotta
hell yes, yeah.
Of course.
Fuck yeah, that'd be awesome.
Maybe we'll have a new refrigerator by then.
Absolutely, that would be great.
Is it going to be matte black or white? You know what I mean? Well, you can get silver right now, but if you wait a little bit longer.
I literally, after this podcast, have to grab Tim and Kevin to talk about sinks. Just the kitchen sink. What are we going to do about it?
I guess that's the thing that we don't talk about as much. I do think we talk about it a little, but the amount of mundane shit that matters so much to one person on the team. And if I'm being honest, it's usually me. I'm usually the one.
I was about to say probably Tim.
I would say it's split fairly evenly between me and you. And poor Kevin has to be stuck in the middle of both of them and being like, fuck me. Like Tim's like, it's not the right matte black. And I'm like, it could be space gray.
Yeah,
with these sinks, a lot of times people don't even realize it. Sometimes they'll pick sinks and not realize how much the faucet and knobs looks like a cock and balls. So just be aware
specifically
what
for
type
that,
of
though.
Sink.
Everything in the new studio wants everything to look like a dick, and I don't know if that's the direction. And then Kevin has to be there, being like, guys, I have to be the peacekeeper here.
No, more often than not, Kevin will occasionally be like, or it could look like a vagina, and you're like, okay, well, now Kevin's just throwing a whole other sequence of events into the mix.
My favorite thing that happened with the studio recently, well, not recently, this is a little while ago now, but it was just like, should we tear down this door and make a door that's like, I don't know,
bigger,
8 inches bigger, not even that much bigger.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I was pulling my hair out because I was just like, no, it's done. The door's done.
You never know when you're going to buy another couch and how you're going to have to fit it through.
But we already got this giant thing that needed to go in there.
One piece of platform that was like, just like, it went in fine. It was totally fine. But that was one of those moments where I was like, oh man, did I just, because these things are like one poor decision or one decision where you're not paying attention to something and you might have to shift everything drastically. So these are the things that keep me up at night.
One big stomp on this floor could knock out all the power.
Well, no, thankfully we learned on this one. So because there was a moment where they were like,
power up.
Yeah, up. So Greg's gonna have to fucking jump up like Mario to hit that power.
So no cap throwing at the roof.
Well, thankfully, all the power in this place is brand freaking new. Like, I don't know what that old place we were in was probably 1920s architecture. We had stuff. There, at one point, Kevin had an electrician come over and look, and he looked in one of those electrical outlets and was like, "Whoa, that's not safe at all." We're like, "Just cover it up. Just cover it up. It'll be fine. No one's."
Yeah, wait. I actually was a Patreon supporter, and so my name will hopefully be somewhere in the wall. And I made sure they just Joey asked, "What name do you you want? And I was like, well, we got to put Fuego del Sol. Yes. That's the name.
Perfect. I love that.
I want when it's up and running and you come visit, I want the photo of you squinting at the wall trying to find it.
So we actually just got the final locked in. We have all the names that are going to be on the wall. And so I've been trying to like strategize and think of like, because I've had some ideas of like what I think that should look like. And I was like, thinking in my mind, cool, we'll come up with like some cool design with the names and stuff. And that was all under the idea that there was going to be, I don't know, 400 or 500 names. Mm-hmm. There are like 7,000 names.
That's a lot of names.
There are like 7,000 of you that we need to shout out that for reals, dude. Yeah, it is very impressive. And there's going to be a lot of names on those walls. So thank you for that.
I can't wait for when we start bringing like video game developers and PR people back over and they look and like, oh my God, like who's this memorial to? Who are all these people who died? Like, oh, no.
I was so scared because the original email in October got sent to my spam folder that Joey sent out. And I was like, oh my God, my name's not going to be on the wall. I missed it. But then luckily, she sent out another round in January. It was like, this is the final list. Yeah. And so I got it in there. I got to submit it. Thank goodness.
Yep.
It's already starting. I see it in the chat. Lou, I never got that email, frowny face.
Yeah.
Email Greg at kindoffunny.com and Joey at kindoffunny.com. And we will look through again. This is if you, in January 2020, increased or was a new pledge, right?
Hey, tell him to check his spam folder because that's where we're at.
We'll figure it out. We'll get it taken care of. And if for some reason, I will
personally write your name underneath.
I was going to say, there's lots of walls in the office, and it's very kind of funny, I'm sure, that if it's like 7,000 names and then the bathroom has 100 names on it, like what happened here? Those are the ones that didn't, the spam folder got them, so it's going to go there.
It's going to work out. Spam folder? That'll be the spam folder section of the studio.
We'll make it right. Don't worry about it, as always. This actually, I forget where it was. Oh, I had a good transition, but we kept talking about it. I'm back to it. You were talking about the refrigerators and all the dumb stuff you guys have had to learn. I think this bridges nicely to a topic to end the show. Madeline, aka Matt Exposure, writes into patreon.com/kindoffunny and says, is there a topic that you feel like you know a lot about but have never intentionally sought out information about it? Example, I feel like I know a lot about the Real Housewives series despite never watching it or reading anything, just from general chatter and memes, etc.
So wait, the question is, do we ever we know a lot about something?
No, not that you pretend. Is there a topic that you feel like you know a lot about but have never intentionally sought out? I'm sorry, that was a joke and I ran over it.
That's totally fine. Don't worry about it. That's a good question. That's a really good
question. I can tell you, I for a fact do. This is something I've thought about because I saw somebody either tweet about it or, you know, I love a good TikTok that uses a tweet. Just like I'm reading a tweet on TikTok. Why not? But it was this. I can totally feel it. It's like, I know so much about this fucking John Mulaney, Olivia Munn cheating on his wife thing. And I've never looked for information on this. It's just like, I can't get away from it when I run into it.
It's like the Pete Davidson stuff now. It's the Pete Davidson.
Exactly. And like that, that is one of those ones where I know he's dating Kim Kardashian now and that Kanye is doing a bunch of weird stuff about it. But I don't know it the way this John Mulaney information has been shoved on me. Not by Jen, not by Lucy James, not by any of our friends. It's just like you're checking TikTok and I see a video about it and suddenly I know that like the dates don't line up for their separation, for her to have the baby. And now it's like, I don't care. I don't care what these people are doing.
I know. That's to the point where like, because every story is Kim Kardashian, Kanye West, and Pete Davidson right now. And I'm like, how do I go on my Apple News app and just mute those words? Is there a way to do that? And it's not that I don't even like any of those people. They're perfectly fine. I can't have 50%. There's more important shit happening in the world right now than Kanye West like flexing on Pete Davidson through not one, but two music videos. Greg, congratulations. You got that right.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's incredible. Yeah. That's incredible news. Yeah. Wow.
And he just keeps launching videos. Where they beat Pete Davidson's ass up, and like one's claymation, one's in a video game.
This is real?
Oh, it's real. Yeah, I'm not kidding.
Yeah. Kanye, he's now took the video down. He put up a video of him beating up claymation of Pete, and it's a game. It's a song with the game. It's a song with the game.
Yeah,
that he just put up. Yeah.
Yeah. These are going too far, Greg.
Yeah.
Really catch you up.
Kanye's having a hard time with this breakup. Let's be honest about that, and. Pete Davidson, on the other hand, crushing it, just announced a Netflix series. Why do I know so much about this shit? I don't like any of this.
I don't know much about Pete Davidson. I fucking love Pete Davidson. Like I love Pete Davidson. More. I want more Pete Davidson in my life. So I'm okay with this.
I don't know if I say I would stand Pete Davidson, but there's a lot of just random, like Mulaney's another one who is a guy that if I find you be an interesting personality and I deep dive on you, I know a lot about you. Him, Ed Sheeran is another one. I don't know why I know as much about Ed Sheeran. I'm a secret big fan of it, but there's just random people I'll get into them. Like one time I didn't know a lot about oh god, now I can't think of his name, the guy who sings "It's Not Unusual to Be
Tom no. Jones."
Yes, yeah. Tom Jones. I just went on a deep dive on YouTube during the pandemic of just Tom Jones, and I was like, I don't know why, but I'm a huge Tom Jones fan now.
That's a perfect example of one of those things where you're like,
oh, maybe because of John Mulaney, he has this whole bit about what's new pussycat. Yeah. That is also
maybe
a connection I just made there.
That's so funny.
Yes.
So okay,
I don't know that I got one. I just what Frago's saying, I'm kind of the same way where it's like I get into something and I deep dive on it.
That's a better question. Like, what is something that you deep dive on that people don't know how much you probably deep dive, you know, that you haven't?
Tim just said he subscribes to the subreddit for steelbooks. So,
collecting physical media, but people know that about me already. Yeah, you know, it's like, that's just like a layer of it. Let me tell you guys how deep down this I am. I'm so not happy with the inconsistencies with like Blu-ray covers and stuff that I am looking into doing custom versions of all my Blu-rays. I want to personally make my own covers for all of my fucking Blu-rays. And it is not as easy. It's not as easy as you'd think. It is. And I'm like, I'm so mad. And did you know that you can't buy just a blank steel case? A steel book?
You have to come with...
Is that because it's illegal, or it's because no one in their right mind would actually buy one of those?
No, so many people would buy them, Nick. You're wrong. There was at least 800 people subscribed to this subreddit, okay?
At least.
Throughout the world. Half of them are in Denmark.
Steelbooks are made by a very specific company, and they control the production of all of it. So they need to work with the official studios, like production studios, so that they can upsell these things. So you cannot buy just like a blank steel book, which I thought you'd be able to go on Amazon and just fucking pay $50 and get 100 of them. That is not the case, man. So people that make custom steel books literally will buy steel books for other movies. They go to Best Buy, look at the clearance section. You buy Fallout 76 steel book, whatever, for $3 and buy a bunch of them, and then they paint over it. So it's a thing.
That's insane.
That's the thing to that point. Like anything that I nerd out like that, like there's me, you know me, you've listened to me talk before. So if it's something I'm not interested in, I will literally look at the other screen and stop listening to everyone on this podcast. if there's something that I am interested in, like recently, because we're looking at, you know, revamping the equipment and stuff for the studio, I've been going down so many rabbit holes for like camera equipment, and it starts with like top end, like, oh, you know, we talked about looking into like Blackmagic cameras, and then suddenly, like, if you look at my tabs over here, it's like 50 or 60 different little tiny things that you put on a tripod that's a quick relay plate that you can also use for something. And it's useless. It's all stupid useless, but I'm fascinated and I have to know which one is the best one.
Yeah, so back before I knew I was getting signed, I was like, you know what, let me at least start a Twitch channel. Let me take some of this love of love that I've been getting from AEW's fan base and try to translate that if I don't get signed. So I decided I was going to build my own PC. And who knew that was going to be a big hassle?
Oh, that's the...
And I was the same way. Right now, to this day, I still
You might
have
as well file for the divorce right now, man. Your wife's going to leave you. Are you kidding me? Yeah, because at one point when I got this machine, Kevin was like, we'll just build you one. And I was like, oh, I don't think Dee's going to like that. I don't think she's going to like that at all. Me and Kevin yelling at each other for an entire day building it. I guess Kevin could have built it. I would require you to come here and sit on this rug behind me like we're children playing with building blocks.
That's what my office looked like. There was just parts and boxes everywhere, man. It's
terrible. When we built Tim, we had a fun time.
Built Tim. We made Tim the cyborg.
And Andy's.
Android.
That's nice too.
But yeah, see, me and Kev get like really into this stuff as well, like the computer building and all like the different parts and shit. And then we get obsessed with even like the culture around it all. So it's like you got to keep your PCs clean. So a couple weeks ago, Kevin or cable management's a whole other thing.
Y'all, oh my god, y'all I got bad cable management.
y'all haven't even fucking seen what this motherfucker's been up to the last like couple months. My this entire room, you it's cannot see impressive. A single cable anywhere. And it is like, it is disturbing to the level that my room is cable managed. Like the amount of electronics and amount of things I have on my desk without seeing a single cable is fucking mind blowing. But then you know the compressed air things like you get the cans
and
you turn it upside down, it like freezes and all that shit. So Kevin and I for years have been frustrated that they run out so quickly. You have to go buy more. It's always a damn hassle. So Kevin found that they make electronic versions, electric ones, right, that it's like USB charge, and then it just you can shoot it and it just like shoots the air. So I was like, well, Kev, I have to one up you. So I got one that you actually fucking plug in, and this thing, dude, it'll fucking blow you away, man.
I like how Tim turns it on himself as if his hair isn't shellacked into place. Like it didn't move. Nothing it moves. Move. Nothing. Not a
waste. I would have lost 20 hairs move. Right there.
this made me think of a funny story. It's like, of course, wrestling is one of those things I'm obsessed with, but I didn't realize how much of just the character Kane that I know about.
Yeah.
It is almost disturbing. Like I was driving down the road one day with my wife, and I was trying to explain to her the story of Kane, and I felt like when Greg goes off into one of his rants and he just starts, at one point I was like, why do I know so much about this fake character? Oh like he debuted because of his brother, The Undertaker, you know, having another brother. Paul Bearer, who was Undertaker's manager, is his stepdad. And it turns out Kane is the one who burnt down Undertaker's home and funeral parlor, but they then reconcile and become tag team champions. But then Undertaker gets injured and Kane is on his own, and he's like a lost soul. So he teams with all these random people like X-Pac and then RVD. And then Triple H and him start feuding, and Triple H does this weird thing.
He had a really creepy crush on Lita, remember?
Yeah, he did, like, of course.
Stared at her in the shower or whatever.
Yes. Oh my God. He married her. She wore black. It was a whole ordeal. There's so many, he unmasked. There's so many just random weird things about him. Oh, but God, because of the character Kane, Daniel Bryan and him teamed up because of the weak link. They had a whole storyline about who's the weak link about Daniel Bryan. That kind of pushed Daniel Bryan into the superstardom that he's in. So, you know, who knows if I would have been a professional wrestler if Kane never did you.
You would have just passed. Like, this isn't interesting.
But yeah, I was like, my God, I've wasted a lot of my life with wrestling. Oh,
well, if you enjoyed it, is it a waste? Is it a waste?
I agree. No. I agree.
No.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, and you know, the people that deserve the prizes in our lives, the rewards in our lives, really are significant others. Because like every conversation you've had like that, flash forward to me. Oh God, I don't know. When did Spider-Man come out? A couple months ago?
December.
Flash forward after we saw that to me crying in my car, trying to explain to Danielle the significance of Andrew Garfield jumping off the tower and catching Zendaya.
Oh my God.
And she's like, what are you talking about? I was like, you don't understand. And now people want him to have another movie, and I support that. I support his third movie, even though the second one wasn't very good.
Give us what we want.
Was totally fucking bad, but whatever.
It was still exploding inside because Jen hasn't seen it. Like, you know, like she couldn't come to the theater with us. And then obviously, you know, with Benjamin, when December, we didn't have a nanny yet. Now we have a nanny, but we never thought of it where it like went for Batman. We took the afternoon off and went and saw it there. And it was awesome because it's an afternoon show. No one was there. So we just owned the theater. We found a theater that sells pickles now too. So we're able to eat a pickle like Randy in Texas. And it was that thing of walking down the hallway. I saw Spider-Man Far From Home. Like, holy shit. But it's also to the point now where it's like, March 25th or something, right? It's coming up quick.
We are 12 days away, Greg. And my best friend Curran just had a baby as well. Him and his wife Shari have not seen the movie either. They do not live on the internet the way that we all do. So, like, they aren't spoiled on a lot of elements of it. And I can't wait. They're coming over. We're doing a whole theater showing, and I can't fucking wait. I'm counting down the damn days for
I'm
this.
Fancy for, I haven't got to watch the Batman yet. And I'm so, I'm going this weekend. But, like,
it's pretty good.
Because of, like I said, because of this thing with, like, I live on this edge of, like, what can I convince my wife to do? But also, if I do it without her, will she get mad at me for it, right? See. We live on that line. And so I went and watched Endgame just because I couldn't deal with spoilers. I had to go watch it the night of after work. And she was really mad that I went without her. But then I was like, okay, with Spider-Man No Way Home, we got to go watch it the first night. And she was like, oh, that's a Thursday. I'll have work the next morning. I was like, I don't care. It's either this or I'm going without you. Going it's just
there's,
one of yeah, the
there's
other.
There's no third option. There's no option that requires
a lot
me
of
to
the,
stay home.
A lot of the other wrestlers were going to watch the Batman last weekend. I told her I'd wait on her. And so I didn't watch it yet. So we're going this weekend down to Texas to for a little mini vacay. And we're going to watch it there as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of like I get the nice get out of jail free card of like I'd love for you to come, but it is for work. You know what I mean? Like I gotta be on the shows. I gotta react, so I get to go do it.
Are you guys hiring so I can do the same thing?
You're welcome on interviews. Dude, we'll find one. You tell us what you want to watch next. We'll get you on interviews.
Let's do it.
Yeah, that was the one. That was one thing with that. We went and saw a screener for the Batman, so I couldn't Dee couldn't make it that night, and so she ended up seeing it this week. And one of the things that I know that it's like this is like the most proud I've ever been of myself. Is that she called me right afterward. And we had like I swear to God, I was like driving over the street. We had a 35-minute long conversation about the movie. And she was thankfully on my side. She was like, it was a little too long. But then randomly the fire alarm went off. And so she's like, I actually got like a 25-minute little like break, like a little intermission. And I got a tie cut. She goes, I got to tell you, the runtime didn't bother me at all. And I was like, well, yeah.
Having an intermission.
It was fun. It was fun.
Just need more intermissions is what you're
exactly.
saying.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Or you just be a man, Nick, and stop drinking so much, DC. Hold your bladder.
I can't do it.
And
I
do
can't.
What you need to do and watch the movie.
I've toned down the amount of Diet Coke. I'm not going to say I quit because I'm starting to ramp it back up. But there was a valley there for a second. And I think when we saw the Batman, I think I just drank water. And Andy was like, beside himself, he's like, dude, you didn't pee once during that entire movie. And I'm like, yeah, but I can't
really
feel anything from the waist down. Yeah, it hurts weird. So bad.
That's weird.
Yeah,
but like you're not gonna have a movie that is that long in a long time.
That's why I trained for it. I had to train for that one. I did a low carb diet, got off caffeine, and we went into that one pretty slim. And then I came out, and I'm like, and then Andy also ate all of his popcorn before I could. He gave me like 2 bites of it, and I was like, do I be rude and just grab it from him? I don't know. I'm like,
real quick, Greg, how was the pickle with the popcorn?
It was fine. I like the pickle twang he does better than the pickle itself.
Yeah.
Because like my thing is like, and this is years of training, I think, where for me, when I'm treating myself, it's the popcorn and then the M&Ms. And I like that. I like putting a handful of M&Ms in, a handful of popcorn in.
And yeah, so chocolate and popcorn, it makes sense. But with like the pickle, it's the vinegar is such a strong taste. I feel like you never taste, it never mixes with anything well. You're just tasting one side of your mouth of the vinegar and one side of like whatever else.
And that was the thing where I think the twang Andy uses is a better alternative. Because it's like, yeah, I still get a lot of popcorn and then just that pickle twang. Because like, don't get me wrong, I love a pickle. But it was like, yeah, I ate the pickle. And then at some point, me and Jen were splitting. And I was like, I'm going to stop here so that I can cleanse the palate for a couple bites of popcorn and then get to this M&M train. Because I don't want to just have M&Ms at the end of this popcorn. You know what I mean? I like it to be a unified experience. My mouth's watering talking about it right now. I can't wait to go back to meet her. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kinda Funny Podcast. Each and every week, 4, sometimes 5 best friends gather on this table. Each coming to bullshit with each other about whatever it is they want to bullshit about. If you want to bullshit with us, patreon.com/kindafunny, where you can write in to be part of the show, just like Madeline did, just like Ryan did, and of course, just like all the trogs did. Cody, my dog, Nick, PS Week, Cardi, and the assassin, AK-47, of course. They're going to stick with us to watch the post show we do on patreon.com/kindafunny, where of course they got the show ad free as well. Of course, though, you can watch it for free anytime you want. youtube.com/kindafunny, Rooster Teeth podcast services around the globe. Of course, you get ads. Of course, you can't write in. Of course, you're not live, but you still have some fun. Support us on the Epic Game Store by using the creator code kindafunny. Fuego del Sol, you have been perfect. I'm excited to post show with you. But before we let you go, where can people keep up with you and where can they buy Fuego merch?
Ooh, aewshop.com for Fuego merch, prowrestlingtees.com/FuegoDelSol. Come join me sometime on my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/FuegoDelSol. Sammy Guevara's YouTube channel every Tuesday. We put out a really funny vlog, a fun wrestling style life backstage at AEW. So come hang out with us in any of those places. And then every Wednesday night, TBS. Every Friday night, TNT. Come watch All Elite Wrestling if you're a wrestling fan. Check me out.
Hell yeah, ladies and gentlemen. We got a post show to do. But until next time, I'm weird. I'm like a little bit off. I'm a little bit off on everything today. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.